I'd like to begin this morning with prayer. Lord Jesus, we are gathered together by your Holy Spirit here to worship you, and we pray that you open our hearts by that Holy Spirit, make them receptive to the word which you've given us, help us to find the treasures which are hidden therein. We pray this in your name. Amen. I'd like to begin, as we usually do, by welcoming those who are worshiping with us by means of the tapes. And we do a service today is coming from God's country, La Crosse, Wisconsin. We've got a contingent from the Beaver Dam congregation here. And one of the men who does receive our tapes is along today, too, to worship with us in person. We're glad to have him here. I'd like to have you open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to John chapter 2, and we've studied the first miracle of Jesus. We're going to take a little closer look at one verse today and take a little bit different approach to it. But there was a great Wisconsin naturalist a while back whose name was Aldo Leopold. He wrote a very famous book called The Sand County Almanac, one of the classics in its field. And he began the foreword to that book with these words: "There are some who can live without wild things and some who cannot. These essays are the delights and dilemmas of one who cannot." And oddly enough, we have both kinds of these people here in God's country. One of the real blessings of living on the Mississippi Flyway, as far as I'm concerned, is that we get to see the migration of the Canadian geese and the snow geese and a lot of ducks every spring and every fall. It's a sight I never get tired of, and personally I get a sore neck every March and October from scanning the skies looking for these V formations. Not everyone is like that. I recall a while back asking a friend if she had seen any geese coming north yet, and she said, "I haven't been looking." Which is okay if that's the way you want to live. But it's kind of hard for some of us to figure some of these things out. I'd rather watch geese than the blue angels or the thunderbirds. When I was up in Duluth, we had a member who was a member of the Air Force Base up there. He flew an F-104. And he invited me to go with him and me and my family one time to see the thunderbirds, and they were all right. I didn't say anything to them about it, but I would rather watch geese. They're more graceful, and they do a better job. Thunderbirds sometimes collide. I think there were six or seven of them. Sometimes they hit in the air. I have watched hundreds and thousands of geese land very, very close together. Never once have I seen one goose plow into another one. They're so graceful. They're so beautiful. There are divine lessons that you can learn from observing nature. And it would seem like the prophet Jeremiah was one of those people who, like Aldo Leopold, was tuned in to God's creation. He didn't see the geese migrate, but he saw other migrations, and he gleaned spiritual truths from them. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7, we have this, these words. The words of God spoken through Jeremiah. "Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times. And the turtle," that's the turtle dove, "and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord." And we have here an oddity that the creation can read God very, very well. I mean, you can search the skies in vain during January or June, you won't see any geese migrating, a few locals flying around, but no big migration. But when it comes time for God's time, and God somehow tells the geese to migrate, they do. The creation obeys God implicitly. Very often, however, the Lord God gets a quite different reaction when he tells his people to do something. Let him tell man to do something, and all of a sudden the argument begins. We can find a million and one reasons why what God says won't work. or why it should be done a little bit differently, and strife and contention and second guessing, and often outright disobedience. Now, the mother of Jesus had this whole thing right at the wedding of Cana. There was a problem. She brought the problem to Jesus and then left it with him to do as he would when he would. And the only instruction she gave the servants was in the verse we're going to look at today, chapter 2, verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. No arguing. No second guessing. Just simple, pure obedience. Now, it didn't make any sense at all to fill 6 water pots of stone with water and then bear out and carry to the governor of the feast. Didn't make any sense at all. But that's what Jesus told the servants to do. So they did it. And God always blesses obedience. A tremendous miracle took place. A miracle that would not have taken place if the servants hadn't obeyed. What we're going to do this morning is, I went through Scripture a little bit, paging it during the past week. We're going to mention some of the commands of God that He gave to His people that didn't make any sense at all. And I'm wondering especially how many of these the children of the congregation are going to recognize as we go through. I'll bet you get quite a few. Maybe you can get all of them. So let's look at some of the odd commands that God gave. And if through every one of these commands, I think you're going to see some things in common. First of all, the command didn't make any sense at all. But the people who were commanded to do something did it. And then the end of the matter was they were tremendously blessed. First command I have listed is this. Go build a boat. Make thee an ark. Now I see some eyes lighting up. Everybody knows who that was told to, right? Told a guy named Noah, who was supposed to build an ark, a great big ark on the dry ground, which didn't make any sense at all. Except he believed what God had said, that there was a flood coming. And that didn't make any sense because it had never rained before. That kind of a mist went up and watered the earth. There was scientifically no way this could have happened. Except there was something the scientists of the day didn't know. So this odd command was followed by obedience. And the New Testament says that because of this obedience, God blessed Noah and saved his whole family. Now, his family would not have been saved if he hadn't followed that odd command that really didn't make any sense at all. Another command, leave your country, your kindred, your family, and go to a place that I will tell you of. Now, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense either. If you're going to take a trip, and you're going to leave somewhere, you've usually got a destination. You know where you're going to go. This command was given to Abraham. The children, I'm sure, figured that out. And Hebrews 11, chapter 8 tells us this. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. All God told him to do was leave, and God didn't tell him where to go, not right away. Now, Abraham could have argued this and said, well, it's kind of stupid to leave somewhere and not have a destination. If you're not going to tell me where to go, I'm certainly not going to leave. But Abraham didn't argue that. He simply obeyed. God told him to leave, and he left. And this is the way of the Christian life a lot of times. God will tell you to go to do something, but He'll tell you where to go or necessarily even what to do. You know what the first step is, and you take that. And then afterwards, God will open up other things to you. But that first step has got to be a leap of faith, because a lot of times it simply does not make sense. Take your son to the top of a mountain that I'll tell you about and offer him there for a burnt offering. Well, that didn't make any sense either, because that son was the son of a promise. The Savior was supposed to come through him. If you kill him, how can that happen? Didn't make any sense at all. But Abraham took the step to obey. Make a little ark of bulrushes, put your little baby in it, and float him on the Nile River. Now, this command isn't specifically found in Scripture, but by the fact that that's what Moses' mother did, you know that she was commanded to do it, because this didn't make any sense at all either. Pharaoh was the one who said the child should be drowned in the Nile River. It didn't make any sense at all to put him on the Nile River. That would be the last place that you would put him if you used your brain. God said, do it, and she did it. Bring my people out of Egypt. That didn't make any sense. The guy that was told to do this had been a shepherd for the last 40 years. He used to be in Egypt, used to be powerful. Then he thought he could have done it. He actually tried. But then God put him behind a flock of sheep for 40 years. Now it was just simply too late. He knew he couldn't do it. He had one excuse after another. But finally, obeyed, and it all worked. Another command. Stand still. Well, that didn't make any sense. The people that were told to stand still were watching an army come down ready to cut them to ribbons. The impulse would be to run, try and get away, do something. Or at least try and fight back, do something. God said, no. Stand still. So they did. And it wasn't one of them that was hurt. Following these commands that don't make any sense. But you do it because God says to. Whatever He says unto you, do it. Take the rod that is in your hand and smash a rock. Well, that didn't make any sense. They were out in a desert wilderness with the sun beating down. They were just about ready to die of thirst. There was no water anywhere. And they're supposed to take a rod and hit a rock? Didn't make any sense. But the words were spoken to Moses, and he did. And water came out. Amazing. What obedience will do, isn't it? Make a serpent of brass. Put him on a pole. And stand him up in the middle of people. What good's that going to do? Thousands of people have just been bitten by poisonous snakes. They're dying. I'm supposed to make a serpent of brass? And hold on. That didn't make any sense at all. But Moses did it. And there was blessings. Whoever looked at it was saved. All of a sudden, the effects of the poison were gone. Whatever He says unto you, do it. Another command that didn't make any sense. Shout. Well, what's there to shout about? Well, what good is shouting going to do? We're trying to fight against the city. The walls are so high they reach to the heavens. There's no way we can get in there. We're supposed to stand here and shout? Doesn't make any sense. What good is shouting going to do? Well, whatever He says unto you, do it. So they did it. And the walls came tumbling down. It's odd commands in Scripture. Go hide thyself by the brook. What good is that going to do? I got to have something to eat. I can't be hiding out there in a, by a brook. I can't, you can't live on water. Got to have something else. I got to be somewhere where I can get some food, God. I can't be sitting out by a brook. Well, whatever he says unto you, do it. So Elisha did it. Every morning, every evening, the ravens came. Brought him something to eat. All through this obedience, the brook dries up. Go to Zarephath. There's a poor widow there. She'll give you something to eat. That didn't make any sense at all. I mean, there's a 3.5-year drought in the land. This widow doesn't have anything. She's poor. She's not got a husband. No one to provide for her. All she's got is a son that she's got to provide for. And all she's got is a handful of meal. You tell me, I'm supposed to go to Zarephath. Last place in the world. Zarephath was in Jezebel's home stamping ground. That's the last place in the world I would have wanted to go by Elijah. And then to go by a widow. Doesn't make any sense at all. But, whatever he says unto you, do it. He did it. And it worked. Go get some shovels and dig some ditches. Spoken to an army that was thirsting to death out in the desert wilderness under the hot beating sun, and they're supposed to take shovels and dig ditches? No sense at all. The last thing in the world you'd think of doing. But they did it because that's what God told them to do. And in the morning, the ditches were filled with water. Well, how'd that happen? It hadn't rained. Odd, odd, odd things. Go borrow a whole slug of empty vessels. What sense did that make? God, I've got bills up to my neck. I've got a creditor that's coming to take my two sons as slaves. All I've got in the house is a pot of oil. You tell me I'm supposed to go borrow as many pots, as many empty pots, as I can get my hands on. Doesn't make any sense. Whoever said it did make any sense. Whatever he says unto you, do it. So she did it. And God used that one pot of oil to fill all of them. She had enough to sell the pots of oil, pay off all of her debts, and still had enough to live with her two sons. You see what God does with obedience? Take my staff and lay it upon the face of the child. What good is that going to do? The child is dead. What we should be doing is getting a shovel and digging a grave and be done with it. And this was even spoken through a guy that was an unbeliever and a hypocrite. But by the grace of God, he did it anyway. I don't know how you account for that. I don't know what the motive was. Maybe it's to show up the prophet. I don't know. But he did it, and God even blessed that for the sake of the woman whose son had died. Take a handful of meal, cast it into a pot. Well, what good's that going to do? There's poison in there, and we've eaten of this stuff, and we're dying. Well, whatever he says unto you, do it. They did it. All of a sudden, they were cured. Go pick a stick off the ground and throw it into the river. What good is that going to do? I've got an action that I borrowed from somebody. I can't replay it. And I can't repay it. It slipped off when I was taking a swipe at a tree. It landed in the river and it sunk to the bottom. Now I'm supposed to take a stick and throw it into the river? What good is that going to do? I could see maybe taking a long branch and trying to fish it out of the bottom if I could reach, but taking a stick and throwing it into the water? when a stick won't even sink. Whatever he says unto you, do it. He did it. The axe head floated to the top. See how God blesses obedience? You feed the people. How are we supposed to feed the people, God? Lord, we've got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. There's 5,000 men, plus women and children. You're supposed to send them away so they can go buy something. You tell us to feed them? How can we do it? We don't have enough. Well, whatever he says unto you, do it. They did it. And it worked. Take a hook, go down to the sea and throw it in. What good's that going to do? You can't catch fish without bait. And we need a coin to be able to pay the temple tax. What good is it going to do to go fishing for a largemouth bass or whatever? It's not going to work, God. Well, whatever he says unto you, do it. They did it, and it worked. Take no thought for tomorrow. Oh, God, I've got a lot of things to think about. I've got a lot of things to worry about. I've got to have food. I've got a family to feed. I've got something to drink. I've got to have money to pay the bills with. There's a lot of things I've got to worry about. No. Whatever he says unto you, do it. Don't worry about tomorrow. Live for today. Make sure you're right with God today. And tomorrow will take care of itself. And somehow or ever it does. It does. My favorite one. Wash in Jordan 7 times. What good is that going to do? I'm dying of leprosy. I've taken a journey of hundreds of miles. And you're telling me to take a bath 7 times in a muddy river. Doesn't figure. Naaman got angry. He didn't do it. He wasn't going to do it. He got angry. Very, very upset. Started going back home to Syria, but then they came to that river. Listen to what his servant said. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 13. If the prophet had told you to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? Why then don't you do this little thing that he told you to do? You know, a lot of times what God will tell you to do not only doesn't make any sense, but it's such a small thing that it just doesn't seem like any good can come out of it. Well, don't worry about that. The marching orders are, whatever he says unto you, do it. I believe that there are times in your life where God comes to you individually. And you're in a situation that nobody else may be in, nobody else may even be able to understand. And as you're studying Scripture, the Holy Spirit moves you to something. And you do it. And other people, maybe even close friends, shake their heads, they can't figure it out. Why are you doing that? Well, some of this is between you and God. This is a one-on-one thing. And who cares what other people think, finally? Whether what you're doing seems really stupid. It's nothing good going to come out of it at all. Whether they second guess. And finally, really, this is between you and God. And if the Lord God is guiding you to do something, you're studying the Word, you're praying for the Holy Spirit, and God is guiding you to do something, you do it. And it's all going to work out in ways that you cannot begin to imagine. It will. We'll close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the guidance which you give each one of your own children as we meditate upon your word and daily strive to live according to it. And we pray that when you make something clear to us that you would have us to do, that we simply follow the command that the mother of our Lord gave to the servants. Whatever he says unto you, do it. Knowing that even though it doesn't make any sense at all, humanly speaking, you always bless obedience. And there are rich rewards for those who follow you. I pray this in Jesus' name, who still works miracles to this very day. Amen.